Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, June 6th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Murray, Bond Committee backs new high schools. MISD board president says someone may have to make hard call to spend the money, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD board president Brian Murray said the district's community bond committee has heard the facts and declared their preference for two new high schools and the price tag that goes with it. The price tag is up to $900 million, according to early estimates from the district. Does it mean that will be the direction of the committee's final recommendation? No. Does it mean the board would vote to put two on the ballot? No. Still, Murray told the Reporter Telegram after Thursday's committee meeting at Bunch Elementary, one of the three newest facilities built because of the 2012 Midland ISD bond, that someone might have to bite the bullet and, quote, make the hard call to spend the money, unquote. I think there is never the right time, Murray said, about a potentially costly bond. Midland ISD officials, based on a conversation with Murray and committee meeting discussions, will attempt to use a possible contraction of the property tax rate statewide to help sell the bond. A hope is that a drop in the property tax rate, because of legislative action, will counter any increase made because of a tax rate increase to fund Midland ISD projects like the possible building of two high schools, improvements to buildings which would become middle schools, the building of at least one elementary school, tens of millions of dollars in safety improvements, and tens of millions, if not $100 million or more, in deferred maintenance to current MISD facilities. I think we may see that it is not a huge difference, Murray said. Based on what MISD officials have presented during the committee meetings so far, the average home in Midland would be impacted with $387.06 on its yearly tax bill, with the passage of what the bond committee has shown as preferences. That total does not include any money dedicated to deferred maintenance, the number one priority from the Midland ISD Long Range Facilities Committee, which met prior to the bond committee being formed. And the price tag started with the building of new high schools to replace the current Midland High and Legacy High facilities. Murray said he has seen overwhelming support for the high school plan and reminded the Reporter Telegram that history shows in Midland our schools are here for a long time. He said he expects the bond committee won't be hesitant to add middle school or elementary school projects because of the benefits they will bring to education in Midland, helping with growth, the creation of more neighborhood schools, keeping feeder programs to Midland High and Legacy, as the committee expects, cutting down on the number of portable buildings, and adding safer seats on campuses across the district. Murray said potential options with the ballot will include propositions to break out certain items, like deferred maintenance, and let the community determine its appetite for them at the ballot box. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, At OPEC Plus, Saudi Arabia Goes It Alone with Oil Cut, by Grant Smith and Fiona MacDonald and Nayla Razouk and Ben Bartenstein, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia will make an extra 1 million barrel a day oil supply cut in July, taking its production to the lowest level for several years after a slide in crude prices. The bold move by the most important member of the OPEC Plus coalition came at the cost of ceding ground to two key allies, Russia, which made no commitment to cut output deeper, and the United Arab Emirates, which secured a higher production quota for 2024. Oil prices advanced on Monday. Saudi Arabia Energy Minister Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman said he will do whatever is necessary to bring stability to this market. As oil prices are hammered by a softer economic outlook, especially in China, achieving this means shouldering the burden of cuts. The rest of the 23-nation group offered no additional action to buttress the current market, but did pledge to maintain their existing cuts until the end of 2024. The kingdom is doubling down after the previous round of curbs, agreed to just 2 months ago, failed to deliver a sustained price rally. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries announced a surprise supply reduction of about 1.6 million barrels a day in early April. But since then, the weak economic data from China have weighed on oil futures, which fell 11% in New York in May. West Texas Intermediate jumped almost 5% early in the session on Monday before paring some gains to trade above $73 a barrel. Global benchmark Brent climbed towards $78 a barrel. Next month's additional cut could be extended, but the Saudis will keep the market in suspense about whether this will happen, Prince Abdulaziz said. The minister has repeatedly sought to hurt bearish oil speculators, warning them to watch out in the build-up to Sunday's meeting. For the near term, crude prices will largely depend on a test of wills, said Bob McNally, president of consultant Rapidan Energy Group, and a former White House official. It will be a battle between stability-seeking Saudi Arabia and bearish paper traders. The Saudi effort to bolster the price of its most important export requires the sacrifice of further market share. Global oil demand is forecast to hit a record high this year. But the additional cuts announced on Sunday will bring Saudi production to about 9 million barrels a day in July, the lowest since June 2021, when output was still recovering from the depths of the COVID-19 pandemic. The main winner from the weekend OPEC Plus's talks was United Arab Emirates, which gets a boost to its production limit for next year at the expense of some African members, which were asked to give up part of their unused quotas. Energy Minister Suhail Al-Mazuri thanked his colleagues for the increase and expressed the country's loyalty to the cartel. "We will always support OPEC and will always stay together," Al-Mazrui said. It was an important statement from a country that on at least one previous occasion threatened to leave the group if it didn't get a higher quota. Russia, the second largest OPEC Plus producer, wasn't required to make any additional cuts this year, but, like other members, it extended its existing curbs by 12 months to the end of 2024. Moscow has increasingly been competing with its Middle East OPEC allies in Asian markets since Europe banned most imports of its oil. There have also been questions about whether it has fully implemented its pledged production cuts in recent months due to the high volumes of its exports. The announcement of the OPEC Plus deal was delayed by several hours as ministers haggled over the details. The most contentious point was the revision to the baselines against which the production cuts of several nations are measured. African nations Angola and Nigeria, which have struggled to meet their output targets almost since they were introduced 3 years ago, were the strongest holdouts, delegates said. Even though the countries can't fully utilize their output quotas today, they were unwilling to give them up, delegates said. Several of them are seeking new investments to boost production in coming years, and a restrictive OPEC plus output quota could undermine their attractiveness to foreign investors. It was a bitter political pill for them to swallow, and talks dragged on through late-night sessions in Vienna hotels on Saturday and continued in the OPEC headquarters on Sunday. In the end, the impasse was resolved, and the African countries agreed to lower output limits, subject to an independent review of their production capacities. The other controversy of the meeting was that three news organizations, Bloomberg, Reuters, and The Wall Street Journal, were barred from entering the OPEC headquarters in Vienna. Asked about the exclusion of journalists, Prince Abdulaziz referred the question to OPEC Secretary General Haitham Al-Gayus. He offered no explanation for the decision. This article is entitled, "Here's What Morgan Stanley to Goldman Say About Cut," by Yongchan Chin, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia pledged an additional production cut in July to stabilize the oil market, ceding ground to two of its key allies, Russia and the United Arab Emirates, which made no commitment to curb further. Here's what leading analysts have to say about the kingdom's move to go it alone with a 1 million barrel a day reduction. Morgan Stanley. The cut may support prices in the short term, but the broad market dynamics for the rest of 2023 and into 2024 remain practically unchanged. Analysts including Martjin Rotz and Charlotte Firkins wrote in a note, "It's the third OPEC cut in 9 months, and likely to be the last this year, provided there are no major changes in the supply and demand outlook," they added. Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. The OPEC Plus meeting was moderately bullish and offset some bearish downside risk to the bank's December forecast of $95 a barrel, said analysts including Don Stuyven and Colm Bruce. The Saudi energy minister's "whatever is necessary" comment signals a commitment to continue to lean against the shorts and leverage its unusually high pricing power, they said. Vanda Insights. The Saudi energy minister is in a difficult situation, having repeated that warning to short sellers. Vandana Hari, the founder of consultancy Vanda Insights in Singapore, said in a Bloomberg television interview, "Speculators are going to follow market cues, and if the global economy shows signs of weakness, they will be back in no time," she added. Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Saudi Arabia will likely extend July's production cuts if Brent remains stuck between $70 and $75 a barrel, said Vivek Dar, Director of Mining and Energy Commodities Research at Commonwealth Bank of Australia. "The kingdom could even deepen the curbs if prices drop below $70 a barrel," he said. RBC Capital Markets. While some will focus on Saudi Arabia not acting in concert with the rest of OPEC+, the fact that the kingdom is willing to shoulder the curbs alone adds to the credibility of the cut and signals real barrels coming off the market, analysts Halima Croft and Christopher Lowney wrote in a note. Saudi Arabia has a track record of delivering on material cuts, they said. ANZ Group Holdings Limited. The move by Saudi Arabia is likely to come as a surprise, considering the most recent change to quotas had only been in effect for a month, analysts Brian Martin and Daniel Hines wrote in a note. The oil market now looks like it will be even tighter in the second half of the year. UBS Group AG. There has been some anticipation of a production cut. That is why the reaction this morning was a bit more muted, strategist Giovanni Stonovo said in a Bloomberg interview. Still, the market will react further when the cut is implemented in 1 month's time, as soon as inventory dynamics show a drop or exports fall from Saudi Arabia. This article is entitled, Local Staple Skiskeller Sports Closing Its Doors, by Mercedes Cordero. After 54 years of serving the Midland outdoor sports community, Skiskeller Sports will close its doors on July 8th. The beloved mom-and-pop shop has been Midland's go-to retail spot for outdoor sports enthusiasts since 1969. Scott and Gina Reagan, the business owners, have made the decision to retire and move closer to their grandchildren, bidding a fond farewell to the Midland community, according to a press release. Skiskeller will hold a going-out-of-business sale beginning June 14th before being listed for sale/lease in early July, the press release stated. Skiskeller Sports, located at 3327 West Wadley Avenue, has been a family-owned and operated business for generations. First established by Dick Reagan before being taken over by his son Scott in 1997. The Midland staple catered to anyone seeking equipment and/or gear for an ever-evolving range of outdoor activities, from water sports to snow skiing, camping, and beyond. This article is entitled, Midland College Primary Care Pathways Grad Completes Medical Degree, by Midland College. Sometimes I think this is just too good to be true, Clarence Sparks, D.O., said. I started Midland College's Primary Care Pathway Program in the fall of 2016, and just 7 years later, I'm finished with medical school. Sparks, who was in the first student cohort of the Primary Care Pathways Program, PCPP, graduated from Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine on May 23rd, and will now be assuming a residency in internal medicine, primary care, at Loma Linda University Medical Center in Loma Linda, California. Clarence not only has a real aptitude for success in the medical field, but is also altruistic, said Joseph Schenkman, Midland College Associate Professor of Biology and PCPP Program Coordinator. I can't wait to see what great successes are in store for him as he progresses through his residency and career as a physician. Sparks said that he really enjoys osteopathic medicine because of its holistic approach to medicine. As part of his education at TCOM, Sparks received special training in the musculoskeletal system, which provided additional knowledge of how the body's systems are interconnected and how each one affects the others. Of course, osteopathic physicians are also trained in other aspects of medicine and are specialists in such things as surgery, cardiology, pediatrics, etc., Sparks explained. Osteopathic medicine focuses on the patient as a whole, not just treating symptoms. The Midland College PCPP program consists of an enhanced 3-year pre-med curriculum with 2 years at Midland College and 1 year at the University of North Texas. Healthcare enrichment activities that include mentoring and physician shadowing, a summer enrichment experience, and 4 years of medical school at TCOM in Fort Worth. Sparks said that he would advise students interested in becoming physicians to look into the PCPP program, especially if they are first-generation college students like he is. The professors and staff at MC helped me navigate the system and gave me direction, Sparks said. Midland College really prepared me for medical school. The classes are small and the professors are personable. I was able to take advantage of scholarships at Midland College, and there was also a stipend available when I transferred to UNT. In addition, TCOM is very affordable compared to other medical schools. This article is entitled, Midland Development Corporation Board Forms Group to Advise on Promotional Projects, by Mella McEwen. After fielding a variety of requests for funding under promotional agreements, the Midland Development Corporation decided it was time to review those procedures. At its June board meeting, members of the MDC Board of Directors approved a resolution to appoint a subcommittee to review promotional requests and advise the full board regarding such requests. We want to take a look at our standard operating procedures and see if we need to add procedures or if the process needs redefinition, so that as we go forward, we have a solid foundation of requirements for those seeking promotional aid, said Chase Gardoff, board president. In response to questions from fellow board members, Gardoff said the ultimate goal is to have the subcommittee's recommendations be the baseline all organizations must meet for the potential economic impact associated with such partnerships. MDC board members Brad Bullock, Zach Deck, and Lucy Cisniega were appointed to serve on the committee. There currently is no timeline for them to report back to the full board. In a related move, board members approved a resolution appropriating $1.526 million from the MDC's 2022 fiscal year revenue to be used for promotional purposes to promote new or expanded business enterprises in Midland, according to Executive Director Sarah Harris. She noted recent projects have included $700,000 committed to COM Aquatics to assist with realigning its competition pool, and $995,000 to Bush Tennis Center for the Bush Ace Athletic Center project. In a final action item, board members approved a memorandum of agreement between the MDC and Permian Basin Workforce Development Board, with the memorandum a condition preceding the MDC's receipt of a high-demand jobs training grant from the Texas Workforce Commission. Under the memorandum, $150,000 is being sought from the state to be matched by $150,000 from the MDC. The high-demand jobs training grant requires a one-to-one match between state funding and funding from a development corporation. These particular funds will be used to expand training and testing of certified drivers. The Permian Basin Workforce Development Board, having identified heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers with commercial driver's licenses as one of the high-demand occupations in the Permian Basin. The Workforce Development Board will spend $85,000 to award 39 students 50% scholarships for transportation and $65,000 for partial purchase of a new 2024 Peterbilt Standard Transmission truck trailer. The MDC will provide $139,000 to cover the balance of the Peterbilt purchase and $12,000 for modified seat installations for the truck. Backers of the agreement noted that there is currently a need for several hundred CDL drivers in the Permian Basin. Workforce is one of the largest issues the Permian Basin faces, Midland Mayor Lori Blong told board members. This article is entitled, Midland ISD Starting Teacher Salaries Could Top 60K, by Stuart Doreen. A starting teacher at Midland ISD will earn a salary of $60,500 if board members approve the 2023-24 compensation plan and general pay increase at Tuesday's special board meeting. The administration recommends an increase to the starting minimum salary for teachers from $58,500 to $60,500, an agenda document states. Furthermore, we are requesting a 4% general pay increase, GPI, for teachers, which equates to a salary increase of $2,200. It was in 2009 to 2010 when the starting salary for an MISD teacher with no experience was $40,900. That salary jumped to $53,500 through a series of raises by the 2019-20 school year. Should board members approve the salary increases for teachers, it would mean the salary for a starting teacher has increased by 13% in 4 years, and by nearly 48% in 13 years. The administration also recommends pay raises of 3% for administrators, including those recently hired, and 4% for all other pay groups. Other adjustments that are part of the superintendent's plan, according to the compensation plan summary, include: the administration recommends an increase to the starting minimum hourly pay for all pay plans from $13.50 to $14.25. The administration recommends an increase to the starting minimum hourly pay for bus drivers from $22 to $25. In addition to salary and salary adjustments, our employees receive $5,655 per employee per year for medical insurance, the district noted. The meeting is scheduled to take place at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday in the Central Administration Building. This article is entitled "Preliminary Plat for West Midland Development Approved" by Mella McEwen. In miscellaneous action Monday, Planning and Zoning Commissioners approved a proposed preliminary plat of a housing development at Potomac Parkway and Victory Parkway in West Midland. Development of the 24,897-acre tract had been opposed by numerous residents in the area, but the D.R. Horton, Texas's plans recently received initial zoning of SF3, single-family dwelling district, for the tract, which is in the process of being annexed into the city. Commissioners approved the preliminary plat for the subdivision, which will consist of 119 residential lots, with staff recommendations that it is subject to annexation and initial zoning approval by City Council and the final plat, including all plat comments, conditions, and requirements satisfying all city departments before being filed with the city clerk. Eric West with Park Hill told the Reporter-Telegram the preliminary plat took into consideration concerns expressed by those opposing the project and matches up with requirements for the initial zoning. It now heads to City Council for approval. Once that approval is received, he said the process of developing the final plat will begin, including subdivision design and completion of public improvements. This process could take up to a year, he said, before the final plat is presented to Planning and Zoning Commissioners and then City Council. Also, in miscellaneous action, commissioners approved a proposed preliminary plat for Midland Community Theater at 2000 West Wadley Avenue. West noted that the lot the theater sits on had never been platted, and city staff required a final plat before building permits for the theater's proposed renovations and expansion can be issued. In the one public hearing held Monday, commissioners unanimously approved a proposed preliminary plat of a residential replat of a lot in the Country Sky Edition at Tumbleweed Trail and Briarwood Avenue. Applicant Schumann Engineering sought the replat to convert the lot into two lots. This article is entitled "Rainfall in Midland Trail Rest of Region Last Month" by Stuart Doreen. The National Weather Service reported less than 1 inch of rain at both International Airport and Air Park during the entire month of May. The rainfall was not only below normal for Midland in May, 1.57 inches, but trailed most areas around the region and West Texas. Abilene recorded the most, 5.36 inches, while Lubbock, 5.32 inches, and Big Spring, 5.21 inches, both reported more than 5 inches. Snyder and San Angelo rounded out the top five with 4.36 inches and 4.19 inches, respectively. the only other areas where more than 4 inches was measured during the month. June has started off slowly at Midland International with only 0.06 inches. The National Weather Service is reporting 1.46 inches so far this year. That total is nearly 3 inches below normal through June 4th at Midland International Airport. Rainfall totals in May. Alpine AWOS 1.34 inches. Andrews County 3.33 inches. Big Spring 5.21 inches. Colorado City Messinet 3.49 inches. Gaines County Airport 1.89 inches. Lajitas International Airport 2.35 inches. La Mesa Municipal 2.64. Midland International Airport 0.98. Midland Air Park 0.63. Midland National Weather Service COOP 1.61 inches. Odessa 2.83 inches. Pecos 2.63 inches. Snyder 4.36 inches. Also, Lubbock 5.32 inches, Abilene 5.36, and San Angelo 4.19. The source for this article, the National Weather Service. This article is entitled, Saudi Minister Seeks Production Transparency from Russia. By Fahad Abdul-Jadeel and Anthony DePaula, Bloomberg. Russia would benefit from being transparent in publishing its oil production data, as the OPEC Plus group, which it leads along with Saudi Arabia, seeks to convince markets that it is pumping at pledged levels, the kingdom's energy minister said. We had a discussion with the Russian side regarding their responsibility to be clear and transparent in providing information, Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman, the energy minister, said in an interview with Al Arabiya Television. They made a decision some time ago not to disclose the information, and I believe they now realize that the non-disclosure of information has led to doubts about their figures. Russia restricted oil output data last year due to its sensitive nature, making it difficult to assess the country's compliance with its pledged output cuts beyond official statements. Russia's Federal Statistics Service stopped publication of crude and condensate output earlier this year until April 2024, following a government decree. Crude supplies to domestic refineries and seaborne exports are key remaining gauges for oil market watchers to understand trends in Russia's oil output. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak's media office didn't respond to a request for comment on the matter. Russia is currently working with secondary sources to update its production figures for February, the baseline for output cuts, according to an OPEC Plus production table for next year, published Sunday. In an effort to bolster oil markets, OPEC Plus agreed Sunday to maintain through next year voluntary output cuts that several members promised at a meeting 2 months earlier. Prices have slumped since then, trading at levels lower than before those cuts were announced, and prompting another intervention by the Saudis. The world's biggest exporter said yesterday it will make a unilateral reduction of 1 million barrels a day, starting in July. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, of which Saudi Arabia is the de facto leader, and other producers headed by Russia, created the OPEC Plus group to coordinate supply levels. OPEC Plus nations need to be able to reach their output quotas, and the organization will rearrange allocations to ensure that the group pumps what it pledges, the prince said. We are fed up with giving some states quotas that they cannot meet, he said. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, June 6th. Patricia A. Penny Thorkelson Unterbrink, and Eric Christian Chris Unterbrink. Patricia A. Penny Thorkelson Unterbrink and son Eric Christian Chris Unterbrink will be laid to rest on Saturday, June 24th at United Lutheran Cemetery in Zumbrota, Minnesota. Penny passed away on March 15, 2023 in Alton, Illinois, and Chris passed away on July 11, 2022 in Midland. Penny's husband and Chris's dad, Ray L. Unterlink, predeceased them in February 2021. Ray and Penny's daughter, Lee, passed away in 2011. Penny and Ray are survived by daughter and son-in-law, Jill and Gary Brown, and their sons, Jeff and Zach of Cantrell, Illinois, and by son Kyle Unterbrink of Beaumont, Texas. They are also survived by multiple nieces, nephews, and cousins. They will both be missed by many beloved friends. Death Notices. Arminda Villagran. Arminda Villagran, 84, passed away on Thursday, June 2nd. Viewing will be Sunday, June 4th, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Antonio Tony Garcia, age 56, passed away on May 29th in Midland. Tony was born on November 22, 1966, in Lubbock, to Alicia Gonzalez and Antonio Garcia, Sr. A rosary will be held Monday, June 5th at 7 p.m. at Mayberry Funeral Home. A celebration of life service will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at Mayberry Funeral Home, 406 East Illinois Avenue.
Kate's Water Safety. Memorial Day is now behind us and the kids are out of school. Even though the season doesn't officially change until later this month, I think we can all agree that summer is here. At the beginning of the summer season, one of the things that always comes to mind is pool and water safety. The reason I think about this every year is because one of my dearest friends has a son who is the survivor of a near-drowning event. This young man survived, but he also struggles in many areas and will continue to struggle for the rest of his life related to the brain injury he suffered from nearly drowning. To quote my friend, people need to know as they don't have this happen in their family. According to the American Red Cross, 69% of young children who drown are not expected to be in or near water. That is the biggest reason why pool and water safety need to be something we plan for ahead of time, because drownings happen when we don't expect. The American Red Cross recommends this list of top things to know for pool and hot tub safety. 1. Secure your pool with appropriate barriers. 2. Designate someone specific to watch the water. When it's everyone's job, it easily becomes no one's job. 3. Keep small children in arm's reach when in or near the water. 4. Install anti-entrapment drain covers and safety release systems to protect against people getting trapped underwater by drains. 5. If a child is missing, check the water first. The American Red Cross has a great and free water safety course on their website. I highly recommend parents and caregivers that own or plan on visiting pools, hot tubs, or other water venues. Take that course. The website is tinyurl.com/34VXXJFR. This site also has several more tips to making your pool or hot tub safer. The American Red Cross also has an app on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store called Swim. You can also get it by texting SWIM to 90999. This app shares multiple water safety tips, has fun activities to help children become safer and better swimmers, and it helps track kids' progress as they learn to swim. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, also has a top 10 list for water safety. 1. Learn to swim. Water activities are safest when people are strong swimmers. 2. Take someone along. Even if you are a strong swimmer, water activities are safer and more fun when you have company. 3. Know your limits. Watch out for the twos. Too tired, too cold, too far, too much sun, too much hard activity. 4. Swim in supervised areas only. If lifeguards are not available as recommended by the American Red Cross, designate a watcher. 5. Wear a life jacket when boating, jet skiing, water skiing, rafting, or fishing. 6. Stay alert to currents. Currents can change and are unpredictable. Learn to recognize dangerous currents or waves by looking for water that is a strange color, very choppy or foamy, or has noticeable debris. If you get caught in a current, swim parallel to the shore, perpendicular to the current, until you are out of it. Don't fight the current. Piers, jetties, dams, and docks can all create unpredictable currents, so it is best not to swim near objects. 7. Watch the weather. Lightning is attracted to the tallest object around, and on water, that is likely you. If you see dark clouds or lightning, get off the water and take the fun indoors. 8. Don't horseplay in water. Dunking and pushing easily get out of hand. 9. Don't dive into shallow water or water where you don't know the depths. 10. Don't float where you can't swim. Make sure you aren't in water that is too deep or too far from the shore when you float. I think water activities are some of the best parts of the summer, but they also can be dangerous. If we don't think about safety, please keep yourself and your family safe this summer by adding water safety to your to-do list when you are planning to be in or around water. Suspected car thief caught after crashing vehicle. According to the Odessa Police Department, a 27-year-old Odessa man was arrested Saturday morning after officers spotted him in a stolen Jeep Patriot. He crashed a few moments later and abandoned. According to an arrest affidavit, officers spotted the Jeep at 6 a.m. Saturday near 2nd Street and Kelly Avenue and pulled it over. A woman sitting in the passenger seat got out, but the driver, Nathaniel Ochoa, took off in the Jeep. The woman told officers Ochoa was heading for his home in the 1200 block of North Kelly and was armed with a handgun, the report stated. Officers found the abandoned Jeep minutes later in the 1300 block of Ambergie Avenue because it had crashed into another vehicle, the report stated. The Jeep was still running. Inside the Jeep, officers found a gram of methamphetamines and a .40 caliber bullet that matched the same caliber as a gun that had been thrown from the vehicle. In the 300 block of North Kelly, the report stated, Ochoa was found a short time later, and he was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance, evading arrest with a motor vehicle, unlawful carrying of a weapon, tampering with evidence, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and leaving the scene of an accident. He was also arrested on outstanding warrants in aggravated assault and drug cases. Ochoa remains in the Ector County Jail Monday on a surety bond totaling $114,500. According to OPD officers, reports, officers obtained a search warrant for Ochoa's home and found a 9mm Taurus handgun, 3.4 grams of methamphetamine, 8 grams of psychedelic mushrooms, 5 fentanyl-laced pills, and a small quantity of marijuana inside. Elisa Prieto was arrested on suspicion of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon, 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance, and possession of marijuana. She remained in the Ector County Jail Monday evening on surety bonds totaling $70,500. Ricardo Hernandez Jr. was arrested on suspicion of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felony and an outstanding warrant in a theft of property case. He remained in custody Monday night on a U.S. Marshal hold and surety bond totaling $19,000. Odessan accused of repeatedly ramming motorist. A 20-year-old Odessa man was arrested early Saturday morning after another man told police he followed him more than 4 miles and rammed his truck repeatedly. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a 911 call about a rolling disturbance around 3 a.m. Saturday, and officers caught up with the parties at 8th Street and Dixie Boulevard. The driver of a GMC 1500, Juan Salazar, told an officer he was driving east from West Loop 338 on 8th Street when the driver of a Ford F-150 got in front of him and was braking, causing him to rear-end him, the report stated. Salazar, who appeared intoxicated, told the officer he continued to follow the Ford and crashed into it to make the driver stop and exchange information, the report stated. Once they got close to 8th Street and Dixie, Salazar said he rammed the Ford's back quarter panel, like the police do, to render the vehicle inoperable, the report stated. According to the report, Salazar said the driver of the Ford got out. He tried to tackle him but failed, and the other man ended up taking him to the ground. That's when officers arrived, he said. The other driver, a 19-year-old Odessan, told officers he and Salazar got into a verbal argument while driving from the loop, and Salazar rammed him 3 or 4 times, the report stated. He said he got blocked in at 8th and Dixie, and Salazar rammed him 1 more time. He also said Salazar initiated a fight after they both got out of their trucks. Salazar was arrested on suspicion of driving while intoxicated and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Salazar was released from the Ector County Jail after posting surety bonds totaling $55,500. Odessa man accused of raping and impregnating underage girl. A 22-year-old Odessa man is accused of coercing an underage girl into having sex with him and getting her pregnant. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, a woman came into the Sheriff's Office May 8th after her family doctor recommended she report her daughter's pregnancy to law enforcement officials. The girl told a forensic interviewer from Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center that back in November, Christian Alfredo Benitez Sarvia provided her friends with a vape pen and her friends put pressure on her to leave with him, the report stated. The girl said she told Sarvia she didn't want to have sex with him, but he insisted and she gave into his request out of fear, the report stated. She picked him out of a photo lineup. Sarvia was arrested on suspicion of sexual assault of a child, a second-degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remains in the Ector County Jail Monday on an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold and a $100,000 surety bond. Haley to visit Stanton. Presidential candidate Nikki Haley will visit an oil rig and hold a press conference about American energy at 8 a.m. Thursday at HNP 488 in Stanton. Haley is running for the Republican nomination for president. Police seized large amounts of psychedelic mushrooms, weed, and THC. An Odessa Police Department investigation led to the seizure of more than 14 pounds of marijuana, 900 grams of psychedelic mushrooms, and 2,800 grams of THC, and the arrest of an Odessa resident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the Midessa Violent Crimes Task Force received a tip in April. Cody Hendricks was selling drugs in Midland and Odessa. On Thursday, detectives pulled Hendricks over near Grandview Avenue and Oakwood Drive after seeing him have multiple short-term contacts and committing a traffic infraction, the report stated. After a canine officer alerted on Hendricks' car, detectives found more than 316 grams of THC and an ounce of marijuana inside, along with packaging, the report stated. During a subsequent search of Hendricks' West 25th Street house, detectives found 14 pounds of marijuana, 906 grams of psilocybin, and nearly 2,500 grams of THC, the report stated. Hendricks told officers he's been making his living selling weed since 2016, according to the report. Hendricks was arrested on suspicion of two counts of manufacturing delivery of a controlled substance and one count of delivery of marijuana, all second-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Hendricks was released from the Ector County Jail after posting surety bonds totaling $150,000. Run to the Wall comes through Odessa. Run to the Wall took place at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home May 20th. It involved groups of individuals from the West Coast riding across the United States to honor fallen veterans. Their ultimate destination was Washington, D.C., where they aimed to pay tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. During this event, Odessa was designated as an overnight stop. It was in Odessa that members of the Ambassadors, a place of the Run of the Wall, took a moment to honor the memory of two Medal of Honor recipients, Marvin Rex Young and Alfred Mack Wilson, both of whom lost their lives while bravely engaging the enemy during the Vietnam War. To show the respect, the ambassadors laid a wreath at the gravesites of Marvin Rex Young and Alfred M. Wilson. This act served as a solemn tribute to their heroic actions and the sacrifice they made for their country. National Police Memorial Week pays tribute to fallen officers. National Memorial Police Week took place from May 14th through 20th, and in tribute to the sacrifices made by fallen officers, the families were invited to Washington, D.C. As part of the commemorative events, law enforcement officers from the Odessa and Midland Police Department, along with members of the Ector and Midland Sheriff's Office, gathered at the Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Their purpose was to hold an annual memorial service, paying respects to all Texas law enforcement personnel who lost their lives in the line of duty from May 2022 to May 2023. The service paid special tribute to the 8 fallen law enforcement officers who are laid to rest at Sunset Memorial Gardens. The fallen officers from the Midland Police Department and the Midland Sheriff's Office were also honored during the memorial service. Odessa's Got Talent. Ashley Jenkins will be one of the contestants performing at this year's Odessa's Got Talent. The event is a fundraiser for the Permian Basin Mission Center and will take place at 7:30 p.m. June 17th at the Ector Theater. For more information and to vote, go to https://tinyurl.com/3m4x7b7j. Police seize large amounts of psychedelic mushrooms, weed, and THC. An Odessa Police Department investigation led to the seizure of more than 14 pounds of marijuana, 900 grams of psychedelic mushrooms, and 2,800 grams of THC, and the arrest of an Odessa resident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the Midessa Violent Crimes Task Force received a tip in April. Cody Hendricks was selling drugs in Midland and Odessa. On Thursday, detectives pulled Hendricks over near Grandview Avenue and Oakwood Drive after seeing him have multiple short-term contacts and committing a traffic infraction, the report stated. After a canine officer alerted on Hendricks' car, detectives found more than 316 grams of THC and an ounce of marijuana inside, along with packaging, the report stated. During a subsequent search of Hendricks's West 25th Street house, detectives found 14 pounds of marijuana, 906 grams of psilocybin, and nearly 2,500 grams of THC, the report stated. Hendricks told officers he's been making his living selling weed since 2016, according to the report. Hendricks was arrested on suspicion of two counts of manufacturing delivery of a controlled substance and one count of delivery of marijuana, all second-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Hendricks was released from the Ector County Jail after posting surety bonds totaling $150,000. Run to the Wall comes through Odessa. Run to the Wall took place at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home May 20th. It involved groups of individuals from the West Coast riding across the United States to honor fallen veterans. Their ultimate destination was Washington, D.C., where they aimed to pay tribute to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. During this event, Odessa was designated as an overnight stop. It was in Odessa that members of the Ambassadors, a place of the Run of the Wall, took a moment to honor the memory of two Medal of Honor recipients, Marvin Rex Young and Alfred Mack Wilson, both of whom lost their lives while bravely engaging the enemy during the Vietnam War. To show the respect, the Ambassadors laid a wreath at the gravesites of Marvin Rex Young and Alfred M. Wilson. This act served as a solemn tribute to their heroic actions and the sacrifice they made for their country.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.